Our next guest has been in hundreds of movies, mostly playing aliens. So we imagined what it might sound like if he got a starring role.
In a world where powerful forces in the galaxy collide far, far away, one man can bring all life forms together. You've seen him play Klingons, Vulcans, and even Frankenstein's monster. And in his next role, Bill Blair meets his greatest challenge yet.
Not sure what that would be, but Bill Blair is sometimes called the alien actor. You may not recognize him because he's played more than 200 roles that require special makeup or prosthetics. It's a distinction that landed him a Guinness World Record for most special effect makeup characters portrayed in a career. Bill Blair is in Savannah this week for GnomeCon. That's an annual sci-fi and gamer conference. Bill, welcome.
Hello. Thank you very much.
You know, often when someone ends up doing something a lot in their career, it's because they're really good at that specialty. And I wonder what is the skill? What do you have to do in order to be really great at playing aliens?
Oh, wow. That's a loaded question, but that's okay. I don't mind loaded things. It's a combination, I think. First of all, it's good for the industry if you can hold still for a very, very long time. We work with makeup artists. Artists work typically on canvas, and that canvas sits on an easel and doesn't move. So I'm kind of like the artist's canvas. So when they're working and painting on my face, working with the prosthetics, putting various adhesives, glues, and other things on my skin, it's a good idea that I don't move, because if I move the wrong direction, that brush of something might end up in the wrong place. We won't talk about where that might be. The other thing is being able to animate. When you've got prosthetics on, it's not just, you know, like we're doing here and we're talking and you can see my facial expressions. I've got to get all of that to come through, that latex, the rubber, the foam, whatever I'm wearing that day. So that can be a bit of a challenge, and it's a bit of a skill set all on its own.
I want to play a clip from Star Trek New Voyages. You played the role of Commander Blodgett on that series, and here you are speaking to Captain James Kirk. So the first voice that we hear is yours.
There will be consequences.
Consequences?
If we don't do this, they will.
Do what? Say it.
Use the bloodworms to end the Klingon threat once and for all.
Genocide?
You're insane. I'm the sanest one here, Doctor. If you're not with us, you're with the Klingons.
Do prosthetics sometimes inhibit your voice or your ability to move your face? I wonder how much of your acting has to go into the voice.
In that particular clip that you're playing, that actually is my own voice. Just, you know, some prosthetics on the face here and there. Going to an extreme, one of the characters that I played that was very difficult to get my voice through was from the movie Argo, where I played the blue-eyed humanoid robot in the fake movie of the Argo movie. And that was basically a prosthetic makeup plastic head that I was wearing. And to project my voice through that, I was actually having to almost scream inside that enclosed area so that my voice would carry through to the microphone. Other times it's our own voice through, you know, our mouth is open, but we get to change. I mean, we're dealing with something that is pretty much make-believe. I don't know of anybody yet that's actually met a real live alien or Klingon or Cardassian, Borg, Minbari, Narn. Shall I go on? the point I'm getting at is, Gene Roddenberry said it best one time, you know, we only have the human race to recruit from for these roles. So we get to make up stuff as we go, and sometimes the voice is that. And a lot of the characters that I have played over my career, I don't speak on camera. I'm actually what I sometimes refer to myself as the professional charades player. I get to create all of my stories through my body language, whether, you know, it's I get to use my arms, or if it's just the movement of the overall body, the head, the posture. There's so many things that go into that. And yes, you know, I think it's just as important as all those people that you hear in the front of the camera that have all the dialogue and create the story that way. But there are some of us that get to, like I said, we just get to play charades all day long, because if I'm not playing or portraying that alien or monster character in such a way that's believable, then I can actually ruin the entire scene no matter what somebody's saying.
Well, let's play, since you mentioned monsters, in 1997 you played Frankenstein's monster, I should say, in Superstition, which is a pre-show video that you see at Six Flags during their Halloween attraction. Let's take a listen to a little of that.
Hey! What do you guys think you're doing? Sorry, but on my budget, this was the only help I could scare up.
That's Elvira speaking while you kind of growl in the background.
Well, Frankenstein didn't have a real good command of the English language, you know.
Yeah, right. Although that one's supposed to be fun and funny rather than actually scaring, I think. So is there a difference between creating a character that's a monster as opposed to an alien?
Well, first, playing Frankenstein's monster was probably one of the most favorite makeups and characters that I've ever had a chance to play. Here I am getting to portray a classic universal monster that everybody recognizes. It's been done how many different hundreds of times and dozens of times in movies with some of the greats. But what was most special about that one is that I actually got to wear Fred Gwynne's original costume from the 1960s series, The Munsters. And so putting on that piece of history, when you put the wardrobe on, in any case, but in this one specifically, you know, I wouldn't say, well, I was channeling Herman Munster, but you do get a sense of where that came from, the history of that, and you can use that and make that a part. So yeah, we use all sorts of, you know, little senses and memories that help us decide how that individual character is going to come across. And that monster, Frankenstein's monster, different from Dracula that I've done before, different from a Minbari, a Narn, a Klingon, they all get different personalities, and that's part of what I get to do as an actor. And it's a lot of fun because being creative and being imaginary is one of the perks of this business.
What's the most complicated makeup or prosthetic you ever had to use? You already talked about the one for Argo, but was there another one that sticks in your mind that just took hours to put on?
Well, it's always been known that from the Star Trek world, the Borg, most famous in the series from The Next Generation, but then, of course, made very, very famous by Seven of Nine in Voyager. There is a lot that goes into putting the Borg together, several pieces, and a very, very tight, form-fitting, almost second-skin type of costume that it takes a lot just to stretch it onto the actor's body, and it's very, very hot. So that makes it probably one of the more uncomfortable ones that I've ever worn. But again, it just, because of the way it was designed, it lends itself to the type of character that the Borg is.
And it may be hard to see. I mean, didn't the Borg usually had cables and electronics all over their face and head, yeah?
Yeah, there were always things that we had, as you probably realize, glued to our face that looked like hoses coming out of almost every part of our face, the neck, other orifices, which we couldn't probably show on television. But there was always the prosthetic eye. And so visually, we were always seen with just one eye, so we lose our depth of field, which actually, I didn't really find to be that big of a hindrance. It's, you know, one of those things that I've actually worked with headpieces, prosthetic heads, where I was totally in the dark. The only light that I got was a couple of pinholes near the bridge of my nose, so I could at least tell that I, you know, was still around and that there were lights on the set and somebody hadn't walked off and just left me there.
Wow. Bill Blair holds the Guinness World Record for special effects characters played over the course of a career so far, though you could break your own world record, right?
Oh, yes. The actual number currently stands at 202, and that was established in 2011. Since then, I have unofficially added to that number by a half a dozen or so, and it still continues to grow. Someday, yes, I will establish a new number with that record. But establishing the first record for the Guinness World Record people took me 4 years to compile. So I'm not really right away into doing that again.
I can understand that. You can catch Bill Blair this weekend in Savannah at GnomeCon. It starts today at the Coastal Georgia Center and lasts all weekend. What a pleasure, Bill. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.